From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We don't believe in revolution. We think restoration is the answer. Using the checks and balances our founding fathers gave us, we believe that we can restore the republic. It takes a lot of work. It takes enough American people, but it can be done. A good, honest, moral people doing their very best and trusting in their God, the author of their liberty for the rest, cannot be stopped. What's the problem today? Americans aren't educated enough to use the checks and balances. They're not organized enough, and they're not moral enough, and therefore we're losing our country. The answer is simple. Restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, first hour, Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use, breaking it all down. Second hour, the good former Sheriff Richard Mack will be riding shotgun on the broadcast. First, a recap of yesterday's hard-hitting, award-winning Liberty Roundtable talk show at libertyroundtable.com, brought to you by thepowermall.com, and brought to you by givemelibertyfund.com. We talked about Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump, you know, the big feud going on. I guess they met for lunch at the Donald Trump Tower, and now I guess it's all good. What, are they burying the hatchet for the 10th time? Will this be it, or will it explode again? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. But for now, Trump and Kelly make up. Kelly's waiting for Trump to be on her show. Does she need the ratings that bad? I offered an open letter to Donald Trump to be on my show to tell the truth, and he's chicken. He's not willing. Trump's campaign manager, off the hook. It may not be the end of the story for Michelle Fields, former Breitbart reporter, and Corey Lewandowski. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball, too. But for now, I guess he's off the hook for now. He didn't really assault somebody, did he? Marco Rubio is now teaming up with Ted Cruz to block even more Trump delegates in Arkansas. The state primary down there. It's interesting. Everybody attacked Trump. Everybody attacked each other. But now Cruz and Rubio saying it's all good. We better go after Trump. Listener Bob says, you can bet the Kennebunkport family is at the center of this election fraud. Now, he also calls it this crime family. I don't even know how to say this name. Corleone? What is that, Kurt? How do you say that, crime family?
Corleone.
Corleone. All right. It's Corleone family. Are you familiar with the mob family, the Corleones, Kurt?
Not really, but I've heard of them. You know, I mean, all right. I've heard of that name.
All right. Mike Lee runs for leadership position from the state of Utah. Support Mike Lee for Republican Policy Committee Chairman. Mike Lee is better than most we've seen. He's better than most in the country, too. Is he perfect? No. Does he do a good job? I think so. I think for the most part he does. Ammon Bundy and four co-defendants heading to Nevada after appeals court refuses to halt the transfer, according to the Oregonian. Yeah, we also talked about this idea in the Oregonian about what happened to Sheriff Glenn Palmer. Is Glenn Palmer going to sue John Day? I don't know. Time will tell. But the bottom line is the dispatchers withheld information from Glenn Palmer, putting his life in danger. I talked to Glenn Palmer right before the abuse took place and Finnecombe was killed, murdered, in my opinion. And you know what? Glenn Palmer had nothing to do with it. But they're trying to challenge Glenn's election over this, suggesting he's not fit to serve. What a sad scenario when Glenn Palmer's done his best to be constitutional and be forthright and upstanding. Even the Oregonian author for the news stories called me because they pulled Glenn Palmer's phone records. And yes, he did talk to Sam Bushman. I freely admit it on air. I recap what we talked about and why. Of course, they don't even mention me in the news stories, but yet they take the time to get all the information from me. Very interesting. We talked about a sugar addiction. They say it's like drug abuse. And it elevates dopamine levels in the same way that, well, cocaine, morphine, tobacco, etc. I agree with their headline that sugar is not good for you at all. But comparing it to cocaine and morphine, I kind of reject that. A little extreme in their statements there. Nevertheless, sugar is not good for you. Let's be clear. We talked about the New Balance shoe company. I guess they said that Barack Obama's admin pressured them to stay quiet on the trans trade partnership. But now the deal's off, so they're speaking out, reports the Boston Globe. Just imagine trusting people like the Boston Globe and New Balance to tell you the truth, huh? They would have lied if they got a piece of the financial pie. But now that they're not getting their money, then they're going to blow the whistle? Why didn't they blow the whistle for principal in the first place, huh? All right. Ammon Bundy's lawyer responds to Nevada Senator Harry Reid's comments about the, quote, Bundy boys and his pals. What about the Bearcat boys and their pals, Harry Reid? Just wondering. I'm not defending the wrong that Ammon Bundy has done. I am saying I see how frustrated the American people are getting. Kobe Bryant upstages the Golden State Warriors' historic night. He scores 60 points, leads Lakers to victory in Kobe Bryant's final game. They call him the Black Mamba. Of course, it's not racist to do that, I guess, huh? All right, just wondering. Sad to say, Golden State Warriors have won more games in a single season than any other team in the NBA. That deserves a whole lot more credit than Kobe, don't you think? But no. Both of these stories are interesting. I'm busy talking about 2016. Many people say that it's the year that Americans found out their elections were rigged. Donald Trump is right. The Republican nominating process is a scam. I don't think most Americans even realize it's a scam yet. Our listeners have known for 20-plus years. Why more women are letting their husbands cheat, says the headline. I don't believe that's true. I think they're kind of being forced into it. One woman wants a family so bad, if her husband will get her pregnant, she'll let him cheat. What kind of a deal is that? Where's all the women's lib feminist ladies standing up talking about how this is abuse to women? Where are the women saying men need to be honorable here? They're nowhere to be found, are they? Isn't that interesting? If they want to murder babies, they're running around everywhere in defense of women's rights. When it comes to these kind of abuses, not a peep. Norway's largest church embraces same-sex marriage. LibertyNewsDaily.com. What a sad tale, huh? Pennsylvania woman endures sexual assault by police following her trivial traffic violation. Again, where's all the women standing up for this lady, huh? We also talked about a lawsuit filed to compel IRS disclosure of church investigation procedures. Are we going to have IRS accountability? See, when I was young, people would go after the IRS, and I thought, man, we're going to take down the IRS. Now I'm learning, you know what? Both parties love it. They pretend they're against it from time to time. I'll give you an example. Even Ted Cruz railed on the IRS at the beginning of the primary. Has he been talking about the IRS lately? Didn't think so. Paul Ryan, quote, please don't call Puerto Rico bill a bailout. Okay. He didn't want to call it a bailout because then he might not get the support for his socialism, huh? All right. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It's still available on demand at LibertyRoundtable.com and on your Roku player. Look in the special interest section for Liberty News Radio. Yeah, the LNR channel. All right, that's a recap. News the networks refuse to use for today starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome, sir. We've talked about this story from time to time. However, it's interesting. It's, I don't know, gone to ratchet up new levels, if you will, Kurt. Headline this time says the following. Protesters across the United States of America demand $15 an hour minimum wage. So it was one thing to talk about it. It's another thing for a couple of states to actually do it. New York and California, to name a couple. But now they're protesting across the United States. We'll talk about what those protests mean. And then I'll tell you the second headline in the wake of the first in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Kurt. I want you to search on Google and see what you find, but protests all over the country regarding their demand for $15 an hour forced government minimum wage. That's the part people don't really understand. The government forcing employers to pay $15 an hour. We've had the government forced for quite some time, but the more egregious and in your face it becomes, the worse it gets. It's kind of the issue here. What do you say to the whole thing, Kurt?
Well, I say, I think 100 is a lot better round number. And, you know, everybody'd be a lot richer at that level, maybe 200. You know, I mean, there are some, like look at what those football players and baseball players make. It's like 4.2 million or something like that. So, you know, I think the number ought to be a lot higher. There's no person in America that shouldn't be able to have a Maserati. I mean, it should be just a fair thing. I mean, you know, that's equal rights, don't you think, Sam?
Darn right. In fact, they ought to reduce all the football players and everybody else by force down to the $100 an hour, too. See, all that extra money, if you just force everybody to $100 an hour, Kurt, you know, when all these attorneys make $400 an hour, that can just boost the $15 an hour guys up. Everybody would get $100 an hour, Kurt.
And everybody would be happy then.
Even Barack would get $100 an hour, Kurt. It'd be reduced down from, what does he get, about $200 an hour?
I don't know for sure, but
well, he gets $400,000 a year, Kurt.
We certainly aren't paying him what he's worth.
You got that right. You want to hear a little business rule of thumb idea for you?
All right.
Whatever dollar an hour you mention, if you double that and turn it into thousands, that's what it is on the average per year.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, take a number. Pick a number per hour, Kurt.
Yeah, so like 15 would be 30.
Okay, that would be like 30,000
grand a year.
That's right. And it's not exact. If you do, you know, 15 times 40, which is 40 hours a week, times 52, it's not exact.
Yeah, but it's close.
But it's close enough to get a good rule of thumb. So Barack makes $400,000 a year in the White House, right, Kurt?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he gets about $200 an hour.
But you got all those extra perks and you get those tips from like,
I know,
countries.
But we're not even counting all that extra money.
Yeah.
We're not counting the post, you know, presidential pension or any of that kind of stuff. Now, right after the headline says protesters across the USA demand $15 minimum wage, and then Kurt says, why not $100 per hour? The next headline I find interesting says this, flashback. Robot serves 360 hamburgers an hour.
Yeah.
Now, Kurt, you ain't going to keep up with that, my brother. Not going to happen. What are they going to do with that equational factor?
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. And, you know, like you said a little while back, wasn't it, Carl's Jr., that basically said, hey, you know, raise the minimum wage up. That's okay. We got robots we're going to be buying. You know, and, you know, it's called competition. You know, it's what it is.
Right? All I can tell you is I don't know how to respond to it even. I'm just saying, don't people get this yet? That, number one, if the businesses do pay the $15 an hour, let's say that I got a certain amount of money that I can budget for employees for my business, Kurt.
Yeah.
If I'm paying $10 an hour, I can have a certain number of employees. If I have to pay them by force $15 an hour, and then by force I may have to pay for their insurance too, at some point there's just going to be less employees, guys. You guys are going to have to work harder, faster, better, whatever. So the workforce is going to get dumped on. It be expected a ton more. Mm-hmm. On top of that, more people are going to not have jobs. On top of that, now the business may go belly up, Kurt.
Yep. Well, I don't think so, Sam, because everybody will be a lot more profitable at $15 an hour. I mean, think your hamburger could be double the price. There's just so much.
Wait
money
a minute,
out
Kurt. You're
there.
Saying it might cost more to buy a hamburger?
Be rich. Well, wouldn't? I mean, that'd just be a better economy if everything cost twice as much, Sam. I mean, you earn twice as much, and if everything cost twice as much, everybody'd be in better shape.
They'd be in twice as good a shape.
Yeah. Not.
Well, Kurt, maybe you ought to go to this school.
Stupid.
What if you go to this school? I want you to look this up on the internet. Next segment, we're going to talk in detail about this. We're not racist, but I think there are a group of people that are.
Oh.
And I got to point this out. Here's what the headline says.
Like Jesse Jackson.
Well, we know those guys are. I'm talking about a whole different group that'll knock your socks off.
Different group.
Thousands of teachers flock to, quote, white privilege conference. Type in white privilege conference on the internet, Kurt, and we'll break this down and talk about what it is, what it isn't, etc. But it's, you know, even they got it even in quotes, white privilege conference. Now, this is interesting. Because I don't really know, Kurt, what white privilege is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me give you an example. You want to go to a university right now, and everybody but the whites have the privilege.
Yeah.
Now, I know they'd say, Sam, that's just payback for the abuses of yesteryear. But my response is I was not involved in the abuses of yesteryear. In fact, neither were the people who are getting the everything but white privilege now. See, I believe in equality for all, special privileges for none. I don't believe in anybody privilege. But I got a question. Is Barack guilty of black privilege, Kurt? Or is it his white privilege that got him in the White House? See, because Barack's half black, half white. He's chosen to be black because that's what his physical characteristics might identify him as. Well, but was it the black privilege or the white privilege that you think landed him in the White House there, Kurt? And before we even talk about the White House, what about gave him all of his, you know, collegiate credentials and all that kind of stuff? How did he get the money? It comes from a foreign father, supposedly. I don't believe that. I believe his dad was the communist Frank Marshall Davis, but that's another topic. His mom was poor. How did he go to these Ivy League kind of colleges? How does he block everybody's attempt to find out who he is? How does he, was that privilege along the way, Kurt? And would it be white privilege or black privilege that got that done? And I would say color has nothing to do with it. It's insider privilege, Kurt.
Yep, good point.
And I wonder how that all works out. And so this white privilege conference is very interesting. Do you have any details on this, Kurt?
Well, yeah, I mean, they basically have a huge number of people descending on what's called this white privilege conference. I'm looking at it from the conservativeread.com website.
Now, you can take this white privilege conference two ways, Kurt, by the headline. You could say, well, it's a bunch of black people going to a conference to try to tear down white privilege, to try to expose it and tear it down. Or you could say it's a bunch of white people taking advantage of their privilege. Right? But what's the truth here?
They say the annual event is aimed at promoting the theory of white privilege.
So let me understand this. You're going to get a bunch of teachers together to talk about a theory.
Well, yeah, especially if they can get extra bucks for going to some event somewhere, you know, kind of partying. I mean, people like to party, you know what I'm saying?
Now, would going to an event like this make you a racist, Kurt?
Well, only if you're white.
They
say this idea that American society is hopelessly stacked against minorities and the only way to fix the system is for white people to acknowledge their immense privilege and repent. Repent, repent, repent.
I don't understand what repentance means. I don't know how I would acknowledge my white privilege when the president of the United States is, well, debatably white or not, but he has way more privilege than I ever thought of having. So does Jesse Jackson and others. Let's talk about white privilege for a second. What does that even mean? Liberty Roundtable live on your favorite talk station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. German counterintelligence analysts believe that dozens of soldiers from the Bundeswehr have defected to the Islamic State, and scores of active-duty soldiers are under investigation for suspected ISIS sympathies. A report produced by Germany's Military Counterintelligence Service, or MAD, concludes that at least 29 former German servicemen have traveled to the Middle East to join ISIS, and 65 others are being scrutinized as potential defectors. The MAD wants to investigate all potential military recruits for links to anti-constitutional movements, which would require a change in existing German laws. The $5 billion settlement between Goldman Sachs and the Justice Department means that the bank actually won't pay a fine at all for large-scale mortgage investment fraud, according to financial analyst David Dayen. The investment bank will merely send a cut of profits from long-ago fraudulent activity to a shakedown artist also known as U.S. law enforcement, Dayen writes in the New Republic magazine. Goldman Sachs stands to get a $1 billion reduction of the fine in exchange for making investments in targeted communities. Only $2.3 billion of the settlement is a cash penalty, which is well below the profits Goldman Sachs made through the fraudulent conduct for which it is supposedly being penalized. In the final analysis, Dayen concludes, Goldman Sachs and the Justice Department get to divvy up the profits of a fraud scheme perpetrated on the public. In 2003, Diana Krupa was appointed to serve a 15-year term on the United States Tax Court. She retired from her post in June 2014. During that 11-year period, she and her husband operated a Minnesota lobbying company called Grassroots Consulting, which they used as a vehicle for claiming fraudulent tax deductions. In her day job, Krupa imposed penalties on other citizens for allegedly doing many of the same things she and her husband were doing after hours. They have now been indicted for conspiring to evade an estimated $400,000 in federal taxes. Mossack Fonseca, the law firm at the heart of the so-called Panama Papers leak, was well known to intelligence agencies from around the world, including the CIA. A German newspaper, citing leaked documents, reports that secret agents and their informants have used the company's services. Agents have sought the firm's help to set up shell companies to conceal their activities. Among the firm's clients are figures involved in the Reagan-era Iran-Contra affair, in which secret arms sales to Tehran were used as a way of funding anti-communist rebels in Nicaragua. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about white privilege here. Believe it or not, there's a big conference going on where teachers, thousands of them, are gathering across the United States to attend a, quote, white privilege conference. And in this white privilege conference, as far as I understand, the real goal is to reject white privilege, to have anybody who's not white hold anybody who is white accountable for their privilege, for them to deny their privilege, and then to repent, to change, to somehow solve it, to fix it. The problem with this scenario is I'm not sure that I know what white privilege means. And I'm not sure I understand how you would repent. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. I just wonder, the story before this white privilege
Here's
story we talked
about. Here's
how
you repent, Sam.
Is $15 an hour they're demanding. Now, are white people part of that demand, Kurt? Because those wouldn't be the privileged people either, would they?
They're happy to have them come along with them because it's the standard old bourgeois, or basically in the Soviet or communist system, it was the haves versus the have-nots, and we've seen it around the world all the time. That's what it always is. And the typical, there's a few that are kind of leading it on the have-not or have side. There'll be a lot of money people, but they also want to use those people to get their ways. You know, like the Hillary Clintons, the Bernie Sanders, and plenty in, you know, both sides of the aisle.
Now, most of my friends were white, Kurt, growing up when I lived in Utah, just because Utah is predominantly white. When I was a kid growing up in California, though, most of my friends, I don't know, some of them were white, many of them were not. I don't even know the ratio. I never thought about it necessarily, but...
You didn't ask people when you first met them, what color are
Kurt,
you?
They were nice to me, and I was nice to them, and we became friends. And then those who weren't nice to me, and I just kind of went my own way. But anyway, what I'm saying, though, is most of my friends, Kurt, worked at McDonald's. And, most of them were white working at McDonald's. I'm not sure if that's really the privilege they're talking about.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I wasn't even able to work at McDonald's as a blind person. I was kind of... disenfranchised from my lofty white privileged McDonald's job. I couldn't even get one of them.
Well, you have that is why you should start a whole new group.
I should sue, probably.
Yeah. you know, because of blind, not privilege, or sight privilege, or whatever.
Now you're talking. Ken from Utah wants to chime in. He's, I'm sure, a white privileged individual.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I should say, because that's kind of a dangerous thing these days, you know.
You could get in serious trouble, that's for sure.
You know, gentlemen, thank you for your show. It's always fun to listen to you guys kick it about. But the thought came to mind this morning. I guess I have to confess I'm white, and I'm just feeling kind of guilty. But I thought it was kind of interesting that in the national politics, if anybody says anything against the president's policy, they're immediately labeled as racist.
And even, by the way, even if they're black.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so in my case, what I want to make perfectly clear is that I am not a racist, but that and it's only the white half of President Obama that I have any problem with whatsoever. And it's that socialist, communist, dishonest, lying, cheating, destroy America white half that I'm angry at. I have no comment on the black half. Zero. So I just want to make sure that that was clear.
Yeah, that just ensures the fact that you are a racist, Sam. I mean, Ken, you know, the bottom line is you. I mean, if you're white, you are. But it's good that you feel guilty about it, because that's the first step. That's the first step in your repentance process. Now, the next part is where you just funnel over and hand over all the monies, either that you've earned or that you will earn, or, you know, at least a big part of them, to, you know, get penitence. That way you can,
you know, I think,
move along.
I think the only way white people can repent is just move on down into the hood. So, Ken, what you need to do is just sell your home in your privileged neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just need to roll right on down to the hood, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Denver, and we were in, there was forced segregation in the school that I went to. It was actually a new program. We had kids from up north Denver bussed into where, closer to where I was at.
Wait a minute, that's desegregation, sir.
You're right, my apologies. Correct. And I mean, in any event, became great friends with a black guy that we've remained friends since, and he lives in Washington, D.C., and his mother actually ended up working in the Reagan White House, which is very interesting.
Well, anyway, it sounds like he's got more privilege than you've got, sir.
You know, this whole racist thing is really troubling, but I just have to be clear, I'm only against the white half of Obama's corrupt and incompetent policies. And so on that note, I'm going to bail out and just keep listening to you guys.
Thanks, Ken. I find that fascinating, this white privilege thing, Kurt. I understand what they're trying to say, but I don't agree with it. I don't accept it at all. And I want to talk about a couple of examples. We've talked about Barack's privilege, but what about, a Ben Carson? Or what's that guy's name, Kurt?
Ben Carson, the guy that ran for president.
Yeah. Now that guy, first off, he grew up in the hood, and I'm sad that was the case. But he learned to read, so goes the story, and he studied hard, and instead of watching the boob tube and gangbanging and running around all wild, he spent time as a Christian and spent time learning to read and better himself educationally speaking. His mother demanded that out of him. And he said he's so grateful for it that she really laid down the law, pardon the phrase. And anyway, now you're talking about one of the best neurosurgeons in the world, right?
Well, yeah. He rose to be the chief neurosurgeon.
Now, is that
John
part
Hopkins.
Of his white privilege? Because as far as I've been told, he's not white, Kurt.
No. See, the problem is, Sam, you're not supposed to bring up Ben Carson.
Okay.
You're supposed to bring up... you know, the
Barack's
Al Sharptons.
Okay. Well, now Al Sharpton's got more privilege than I have ever had, Kurt. Al Sharpton runs around with plenty of money. Him and his buddy Jesse Jackson shake down all businesses across the country. But they got plenty of money, Kurt. I struggle to pay my bills.
Well, that's right. And see, that's part of white privilege, Sam.
Struggling to pay your bills? Heard that.
Well, yeah, especially for you. You know, you're just supposed to understand it's just like the deal is, if you're white, you're a racist. You just automatically, you know, you're not that way for your buddy that's a black guy that, you know, but you are in the overall scheme of things, you know. I mean, you can't be considered a you know, a thinking individual, you know, like our buddy James Edwards that from the political cesspool, when he's interviewed, then they just know he's, you know, the racist, right?
Well, now, Kurt, what about David A. Clark Jr.? I mean, he's sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
He's as educated as they get, Kurt. He's doing the Ben Carson thing, though, Sam. He's not fitting into the role.
Like working hard?
Well, yeah, and like standing up and saying all lives matter.
Ooh.
You know, instead of agreeing with the whole Black Lives Matter, you know, he's you know, as some would say, part of the problem. Now, I think he's part of the solution. I'm just telling you what they would say. You know, this is not the kind of Black man they want to bring to the forefront, because the goal is, you know, and the scripture has said about this, in the last days good will be called evil and evil will be called good.
Now, Kurt, in this white privilege teacher conference, what do they say the white people need to do to repent? Do they tell you what needs to be done? If I take the following steps, can I free myself from this curse?
Well, they say this thing fosters, they call it the WPC, White Privilege Conference.
Yes.
That it fosters an environment where every participant can engage deeply and then through our accountability program, bring what they have learned back to their own community so that their White Privilege Conference experience impacts their lives, employment, and community all year long. This theme and the Philadelphia location, by the way, are designed to highlight the main reasons why the White Privilege Institute and its like-minded attendees at the conference hate America the most. Yeah, they say throughout the history of the United States, liberty and justice have been espoused values which have only ever been applied to a very small minority of people. Are they talking about the insiders, the establishment crowd? But anyway, then they go on to say the Constitution supported the enslavement of Africans. The U.S. government orchestrated the decimation of Native American nations. Anyway, they go on, Sam.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight. More news the networks refuse to use in seconds. I'm going to tell you about some white privilege coming up, okay? Liberty Roundtable, live.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I'm dreaming.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby talking about white privilege going on. Is Kelly Clarkson white, Kurt, or not? I don't really know this.
I'll have to look her up. I think she might be, though.
Yeah, I think she's white, Kurt, but I don't really know. I'm just kind of thinking. But she's the what doesn't kill you makes you stronger lady. And she's in the news.
Yep, looks like she is.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
She had a baby, by the way.
That's the story, Kurt.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you some questions before we get into this.
Yeah.
Do you know who Brandon Blackstock is, Kurt?
Looks like it's her husband.
That's right. Whoa. This white
chick, they're married.
Certainly has privilege. She's married, first of all, Kurt.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're staying together. Third, they're on Twitter and they're saying how much in love they are, Kurt.
Wow.
And fourth, they Kelly Clarkson and her husband Brandon Blackstock just announced the good news on Twitter. Baby boy, Kurt.
Wow. A lady in Hollywood or in the music industry married to a man and in love and then having a child. That's one of those things you don't see every day, huh, Sam?
Now, they couldn't be happier or more in love. Wow. I don't know how to react to this, Kurt. Is this part of the white privilege thing going on?
Yeah, it's definitely part of that.
But I got a question. Is Brandon white too, Kurt?
You know, I'm looking, but I can't really tell.
Now, you know what his last name is, don't you, Kurt?
Blackstone, yeah. You know, so huh? Well, his last name is Blackstock. So that's I don't know if he's Blackstock or not.
Well, it's a white dude named Blackstock. You follow me?
Is it?
Oh, I don't know if it is. I'm thinking. And that's what you do when you're white privilege. If you're white, you know, you got a last name like Blackstock, it's kind of a counterbalance to your privilege.
Yes.
Now, we got to look up who Brandon is so we can learn about this guy. But anyway, I went to a concert and Kelly was there. it was the 4th of July event in Utah called Stadium of Fire. And Kelly Clarkson was there. And she said, I'm getting hitched. And she was all excited about getting married and everything. And now they're married and they're in love and they have a baby and all that kind of stuff. And
wow.
Well, Kurt, it gets worse. I mean, it gets better. Just depends on your point of reference. If you believe that babies are ruining the planet, then it's worse.
Yeah.
If you believe she's like a downtrodden woman, I mean, she used to be privileged till she married old Brandon. But now she's under his thumb in the kitchen, you know, whatever they want to say, right? But she's happy as could be. She's in love and everything. I don't know if you'd call her a liberated woman. It all depends on how you define liberated. I don't know if white women can even be liberated. Can they, Kurt? Especially the married kind that are having babies. White,
that's right.
Married babies. I mean, I'm just saying, wow. Talk about downtrodden, underprivileged. Nevertheless, the interesting thing about this, guess what they named their baby, Kurt?
Let's see. It's kind of an interesting name. Let's see. I saw it on the picture, but go ahead and tell me. Remington. That's right. Remington. Remington Alexander Blackstock. So that'd be R-A-B, Ram. Yeah. Remington. Yeah.
Baby boy Remington.
Yeah. And I
now,
guess.
Kurt,
they
just imagine this white, underprivileged woman naming her kid after a gun.
That's right. She said, of course, as a Remington is a company known for its firearms, and it's also a name made popular after Pierce Brosnan's 80s spy show called Remington Steel. According to baby name sites, the English moniker roughly means from the Raven. Remington. Huh. Well, there you go.
Huh. Yeah. What do you think of that, Kurt? Our little baby boy has arrived. We're so in love, and we're going to name our kid after a gun. Brandon must be some kind of a nut, Kurt.
Yeah.
I'm just loving it, though. Right?
That is cool. Yeah. Married people taking care of each other, you know, in love.
In love and stuff and all happy. And
yeah. It does scare some people. You know, there was a report.
Kelly
know,
was probably forced to do it by her evil white husband, don't you think, Kurt?
Well, yeah. But there was a report. I don't know if you remember hearing about it, but the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has a women's meeting where basically they have all these women there. And one of the speakers is a Southern girl. And, well, I mean, she grew up in the South, in Louisiana in particular.
That would usually be a Southern girl.
Yeah, that's right. And she told about basically how, you know, she's the mother of, I think it's 8 children, or maybe it's 11 children. Anyway, it's a pretty good batch. And I guess she got it was a phone call. And she was just surprised with it. But she got this phone call. And the lady on the other end, and I use that term lady loosely in this caller's case, but she basically said, are you the mother of a large family? And the lady, Mrs. Marriott is her last name, she said, yes. She was kind of, excited about it. She thought that she would, enjoy this call, you know. And anyway, the lady went on to say, I'm deeply offended that you would, she expected, she answered the caller's question about being a big mother of a big family. Then she says, but no, I'll never forget her reply, this lady's reply, as her voice crackled over the phone. I am highly offended that you would bring children onto this overcrowded planet. She said, oh, I sputtered, I see how you feel. She snapped, no, you don't. I then whimpered, well, maybe I don't. She started on a rant about my foolish choice to be a mother. As she went on, I began to pray for help, and a gentle thought came to my mind. What would the Lord say to her? I then felt, he went on to, basically respond that she said, I'm glad to be a mother, and I promise you I will do everything in my power to nurture my children in such a way that they will make the world a better place.
Yeah, I would respond and say, my kids are going to be paying your Social Security. What are you talking about, ma'am? But that's just how
lady,
I roll.
The rough lady says, she replied, well, I hope you do, and then she hung up.
There you go. Now, Kurt, anyway, I've been looking up this Brandon Blackstock guy.
Yes.
And
they say he's 39.
Yeah.
That he has
an incredible net worth. He's like a talent manager guy, Kurt.
Oh yeah.
Now there's a website that came up called BornRich.com, Kurt.
Oh, that's probably part of that.
So go look up BornRich.com. I'm sure you're on there.
Yeah.
As one of them privileged dudes, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Born rich. It's got Kurt Cosby's probably like got that masthead on there.
Uh-huh. Right.
All right. Now, the other thing about Kelly Clarkson you ought to know, Kurt, is not only is she married, not only did she just have a baby, not only is she in love with a man and everything, I mean, I know it's just crazy, but she was, before she became a well-known singer, Kurt, she was a children's book author. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I don't know that she ought to be allowed to do that. She rose to fame in 2002 because she was on Idol. Well, you know?
American Idol.
All right, anything else about these guys?
Not that I can see, Sam. I mean, you know, it's just...
Is he like a celebrity, a nice, this Brandon guy?
Well, he is now because he's married to Kelly Clarkson. Right?
I guess he's Blake Shelton's manager, Kurt. Blake Shelton's a well-known country singer.
Okay.
And I guess he's Reba McEntire's stepson.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does sound like white privilege for sure.
Now, the news basically said before he was the rumored boyfriend of Kelly Clarkson.
The rumored.
Yeah, boyfriend. I guess they done tied the knot, had a baby. They're still in love. So set the rumor mill aside. And I don't know, let's just celebrate the... The other thing I kind of want to say is this. Maybe it's privilege for those who follow the commandments of God and they get blessings, Kurt. Now, I'm not using this as a racial tension. What I'm saying to you is this. Anybody who obeys God's laws will be blessed and prosper. Anybody who does not...
No matter their color?
Darn right.
Huh.
Heck yeah. Doesn't matter what language they speak. Doesn't matter what color they are. Heavenly Father loves his children, Kurt, and he'll bless them if they do what he asks. They use their agency wisely and follow his guidelines, and they'll be blessed, and good things will happen in their lives and in the lives of their loved ones.
Wow.
I'm just telling you.
What a recipe for disaster, huh, Sam?
What are you talking about? It'll be incredible. They might actually get more than 15 bucks an hour if they work hard.
Woo. Wow.
Now, I realize that there are situations where people do not have opportunities, Kurt, and I think that's tragedy. I do encourage opportunities for all. And it would start by, you know, Barack voluntarily reducing his salary down to the average salary for the American people and decreasing the people's debt, because the less debt we have, the more we can all prosper. Maybe Barack ought to start with that.
Restoring the Constitution.
That's how he could repent from his black privilege, Kurt.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the white side that got the privilege that, you know, I don't know. Either way, I'm telling you right now that we can make a difference in this world, ladies and gentlemen. It starts with doing our very best to keep the laws of our Maker. We are God's children, and He'll bless us. This nation shall endure.